Well, good evening. Take your Bibles and turn, if you would, to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. It's been a pleasure just being in the service tonight already, and the singing and the preaching that we've heard has been great. Amen.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for that. I'm thankful to be a friend of Heartland.
Amen.
And I am excited about what the Lord is doing and the young people that I have come around and their spirit. There is a spirit of this place. God has blessed it. And I just want to, by the way, I want to thank all the young people that have sent cards and letters of encouragement. And boy, that has really meant a lot to me. And I just want to just say thank you for that. Brother Sam, appreciate your vision here. And being a preacher,
amen.
Holding the standard high,
amen.
And thank you for the opportunity to preach tonight. Joshua chapter 3, I want to read the chapter, if you'll allow me tonight, beginning in verse 1. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim, came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the hosts, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore." Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, "Take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people." And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan." Joshua said unto the children of Israel, "Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God." Joshua said, "Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bare the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bare the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed all his bank all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap, very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zeratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priest that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Would you notice with me before you close your Bible, chapter 4, verse 17. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, "Come ye up out of Jordan." And it came to pass, when the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, notice that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. Thank you. You may be seated. God had promised Abraham that his seed would be in a blessed land, that his seed that would follow him would know great victory. It was a promise so instilled in them that when Joseph died, he commanded them, "Don't leave my bones in Egypt." When you receive the promise and when God brings a deliverer, you carry my bones with you because I want to be buried in that place that God had set aside for us. You remember that they were in slavery for over 400 years. And God sent a man to deliver them. He did not send an army. He did not send artillery. He sent a God called man. He sent a shepherd boy, just a common man that had been groomed in the backside of the desert there watching simple sheep. But it was a man that had the mission of God and a vision of what God could do and the promise that God would go before them and bring them out of Pharaoh's land and Pharaoh's army and bring them to that great land called Canaan. Sure enough, Moses went down before them and he stood there. And oh my, the wonders that God did before all the world, that they would testify that this was a God they had not known before, the great I Am. And they walked through that great Red Sea and were delivered out of the hands of Pharaoh and out of his men. And they stood on the other side as God crushed them in and destroyed Satan's army. God's desire was never that they come out of Egypt only to wander around. His desire was not that they be delivered and spoil Satan's land of Egypt only to come to the wilderness and die. To die in unmarked graves. To lay there as wounded casualties because of their lack of faith. They have wandered for 40 years. And now God has raised up another man. They stand before this great river called Jordan. And the people are about to cross over on the other side. I want you to know tonight that God has a plan for His people. And where Moses has failed, God's desire is not for us to simply wander about in the wilderness. God's desire is that we might know His blessed peace and His promise, that we might know victory, that all the world may see that God is a God of strength and power. In the wilderness, their testimony was weak. But now Joseph stands before here and he has a command of God to take the people over onto the other side. I can only imagine the heart of Joshua as he stands here, because there were several things that he faced as a man of God to take them over. There were three things that I want to point out, and the first thing that I wanted us to understand is when Joshua stood here, his first problem was that he had come from a failed generation. They knew the power of God and didn't make it. They knew the power of God and died a casualty. They had seen Pharaoh go down. They had seen the sky turn dark. They had seen all of this. And yet they had failed in what God had called them to do. As a matter of fact, this was a generation that will remember of Baal Peor. This is a generation that will remember the golden calf. This is a generation that wandered about for 40 years not claiming the victory. I tell you what. I don't know how sad it would be to run a race and then come right to the finish line and then just stop and walk away. I'm telling you, that would be a sad testimony. And here were the people of God, and they'd come so far. They'd come so far, and then only to finish as a casualty. The second problem that he had was this. He had a generation that was with him that did not know victory. Now, I'm not trying to preach the same thing, but hear me. Many of these people standing here at the brink of Jordan, crossing the Red Sea was a brand new story to them. Do you understand that? For them to hear about Pharaoh and all of his destruction, many of these people were not even born. The only life that they had known of was this. They had known a life of contentment and of complacement where they had just wondered about from day to day. God had met their needs. God had provided manna. They had the cloud. They had the glory cloud. They had the ark. They had the temple. But what are we doing tomorrow, Mom? Well, we're just going to wonder about. Well, what are we going to do the next day? Well, we're just going to wonder about. Well, what about that promised land I hear about? No, we can't take that. It's not God's timing. We failed. We've lacked our faith. It's not ours. And so here we have a generation, hear me, that had not known the power, the full unction of God's power upon their life. And they were a generation that did not know revival. Oh, what a sad testimony that was. I can just imagine Joshua's thinking, if Moses' people complained, if Moses' day and that crowd complained and gossiped and whined and bellyached and said, there's just no way we can compete. There's just no way we can keep up with this. I can only imagine what Joshua was thinking as he comes to the Red Sea with these sheep behind him. But there was a third obstacle in front of them, and that was the Jordan River. Now, say what you want to, and I know in the Scriptures there's many parallels and teachings, and Christ was baptized there, but I want us to understand something about the Jordan River. Whatever picture we may place with the Jordan River, I believe Joshua looked at this thing and said, how in the world am I going to get across here? How in the world am I going to pass this thing? And by the way, notice something about the Jordan River. Notice what it says in verse 15. And as they that bear the ark were coming to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of water, for Jordan overflowed all his banks all the time of the harvest. Chapter 3, verse 15. Do you see that? Read that last line with me, would you? If you've got the right scripture there, it's going to be in those little parentheses. Read it. Ready? For Jordan overflowed all his banks all the time of harvest. I can only imagine someone in the back of the crowd raising their hand and saying, hey, just a second, Joshua. You know, if we waited until after the rainy season, this thing would just subside a little bit and we might be able to cross it on our own power. I can hear somebody say this, you know, Joshua, maybe we can go around this thing. Are you sure that God has called you to this place? Are you sure that God has called you to this time? Are you sure that the Lord is leading you? I mean, haven't you looked at this thing? I mean, it's overflowing all its banks. Amen. And it's just not a convenient season. It's just not the right time. It's just not the right place. Maybe somebody said this. Well, you know, Joshua, maybe we should build a canoe. Or hey, hang on. How about bridge? But I'm going to tell you something, that what God has called us to do cannot be done in the arm of the flesh. What God has called us to do is not for us to come up with new means and new methods. But what God is looking for still today in this generation is a man of God that will allow God to do wondrous things among us. And I crave and desire for God to do a wondrous thing in our midst. I don't want to have a common church. I don't even want to be the run-of-the-mill preacher. I want God to be there. I want God to do something. Listen to me. I don't want to be the man of God that talks about revivals of the past. I don't want to hear the statements, oh, well, this generation can never experience revival. I don't want to hear that anymore. I'm telling you that we serve a miraculous God that desires in this generation to do wonders in our midst today. Amen. And I'm telling you, He's looking for a simple common man that'll just stand up. Not an army, not a denomination. He's looking for a man. That is still the method of an almighty God. He's still calling men to do His work. Joshua stands before this bank and it's just overflowing. I want to just say this tonight. There is not an easy place to establish a church. You know, sometimes we get this idea, well, you know, they're building a great church and so forth, but you know, that's an easy town. I'm going to tell you, there's not an easy town. Amen. Do you pick any place you want to, and I'm telling you, if you're starting an independent Baptist fundamental church, the Satan will raise its head. I'm telling you, we went from West Virginia, and I thought West Virginia was a hard place to pastor, and we went down to Tampa, and I had a struggle with that, and felt the Lord lead, and we went down there, and I'm telling you, it is the seat of Satan. Really is. Brother Abel said he was in the seat of Satan. I said, well, we got the vacation spots. That's the truth, man. Tampa is number 4 in the porn industry and quickly moving to number 2. I'm telling you, it's just breaking my heart. Drive down and see the homosexual movement and their billboards and their displays, how open they are. And then to put a verse of Scripture up there, you just think we had done something horrible. I'm telling you that all around this world, that sin is coming in like a flood. But as Isaiah said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, Isaiah 59, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard. And what we need today is not build bridges, but we need men of God that will raise up and say, listen, what God had viewed and promised for us, it is still there, and oh God, use me. Notice several things that we find in this passage here that I want to just share with you tonight. The Bible talks to us as we look at this, that He tells them to stand back, for ye have not passed this way here before. God's method was very unusual. It's not something that I would have thought of, but it was God, and God wanted to work in their midst. And He said this, He said, Joshua, get the priests and put the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders and send them down in that water. And when they put their foot in there, I'm telling you that the waters will stand up on a heap. Man, I love it. I love it. The first thing that they needed, listen to me, was the presence of God upon their shoulders. If they dare go down into Jordan River, overflowing all of its banks, if they dare go down there by themselves, they would have utterly failed. They must have the presence of God upon their life. They must have the power of God descending upon them. They needed a holy unction upon them. Samuel Chadwick said, never before have I seen such a demonstration of knowledge within our church, but such a true lacking converting power within our churches today. My goodness, we have everything you would think necessary to reach a lost world, and yet we're failing. Because instead of God parting the sea, we're building bridges across it. Amen. We need converting power. We need to go back to the book of Acts. I tell you, I had a guy come to me one time, and he was just talking about all these new methods, and he was telling me about this drama team that he had in his church. And he said, well, Kerry, what are you doing? I said, man, I'm just staying with the book of Acts. Just going to the book of Acts. Man, that's the church I want. These that have turned the world upside down have come hither here also. Oh, that testimony might be said of us today. That there would be such converting power that our governments would be stirred. Our homes would be stirred. Our churches would be stirred. Because there was a man of God with the power of God upon his life. Listen, we don't need to bring all this junk in. We need to just stay with the book. Just stay with the book. Stay with the book. You know, I hear guys say this all the time. Well, you know, it's just hard to compete. Listen, we're not competing. We're not competing. It's a different thing altogether. Notice something. I want to just bring this out real quickly. That when we looked at the Ark of the Covenant, there were three things that we understand were inside the Ark. The first thing that we find was a table of stone with the Word of God on it. Written in stone that it might not be changed. or corrected, but simply obeyed. Amen. Listen, we can't do anything apart from the Word of God. The second thing that we find is that pot of manna. Oh boy. It was a witness that God would meet their needs according to His eternal Word. They would look into that and say, there is a witness. There is a testimony that God is always faithful. And I'm telling you today that God is looking for men that will look to Him for their source and their strength. He is the bread of life. He is the one that cometh from heaven. He is the one that finishes and feeds our soul. There was also a rod that budded. It determined who the real priest was. The real priest, you remember they had all those rods out there, and the real priest, his rod, Aaron's rod, budded. I mean, it looked like a tree. It just, I mean, overnight, with life. With life. Because that was God's man. It was miraculous. It was a witness that he was called and God's hand was upon him. The unction was there. And this rod would be different than the rest of them. It was a witness that this was God's man. And I'm telling you today that we have a witness of the Holy Ghost that bears a different fruit from the fruit of this world. We need men that are God called once again. That'll go without fear with the unction of God and with the authority of God's Word to stand behind the pulpits in our churches and to preach God's Word. Listen, I'm not so sure we need more churches. We've got churches with padlocks on them. Let's just get some preachers in there. Amen. Bothers my heart today. By the way, you say, Pastor, it's a different message. No. I want you to get something. If the Shekinah of God was around it, then it's still around it today. Amen. And if I can work apart from the Shekinah of God, then we're not working with God. We're working against God. And he says, hey, listen, friends. This is what I'm hanging around. By the way, all three of those are a picture of Christ, are they not? Amen. He was not only in the ark, he was pictured in the ark, brother. You look it open, it was just a witness of the faithfulness of God, of the Spirit of life that He gives, of His everlasting Word that is without fail. And I'm telling you that on these things was just the Shekinah of God hovering over it. And then Joshua said, hey, listen, this put on your shoulders. And go down with it. Watch what happens. I'm going to tell you something. I remember the day that I was ordained. I remember we had about 7 preachers from West Virginia. Some of them didn't even have education there, or Bible education. But I'm telling you, they were men that had unction of God upon them. And I remember kneeling over here, and I remember these men coming down and putting their hands on me that afternoon. And some of them just grabbing my ear and saying a couple of things of encouragement. Some of them threatened me. Yeah. Praying over me, one by one, placing her hands upon my heart, my life. Remember my dad coming and praying. I could feel it. I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to walk up here without it on my shoulder. I'm telling you, if I've got it on my shoulder, the water's going to part. I come up here by myself, I'm going to drown. We have guys drowning all the place and all over. Hey, listen. It's not a seminar that we need. It's not a new invention. It's not a new denomination. It's not a network that we need. We need to get back to the ark. Get back to just having the presence of God on our life. Amen. I'm going to tell you that's what it was. Turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 114. I want you to see this. Man, I was reading this and I got so excited. Don't you love your Bible? Amen. Psalm 114. Notice with me here in verse 5. Psalm 114, verse 5. What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest, thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back? What were you scared of? Just four men. What were you so afraid of? What were you scared of? Verse 6, ye mountains that ye skip like rams, and ye little hills like lambs, tremble. Tremble thou earth at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the God of Jacob. Oh, that we might have some men in this room that would cling to God and say, I won't let you go till you bless me. I won't let you go till you change me. I don't want to be the same. I'm tired of my pulpit being dead and the altars being cold. Tired of the baptism waters being stilled. Tired of the soul winning crowd not being there. Now I'm going to tell you something that I can blame everything and everybody in my church. And I can say that that church around the corner and that church in that state and that thing, boy, it's just great. And if I had those people loving me, I could build a great church. But I'm going to tell you that what parted Jordan River and what does the work is not people. It is a man of God with the presence of the Lord upon him. That, my friend, causes the earth to tremble. Amen. Fills my heart. Number two, not only the presence of the Father, but I want you to notice the power of their foot. Would you turn back to our text? Put your seatbelt on. Amen. I was praying. I tell you what, I got a group of people praying for me tonight. Whew. Satan better watch out. Prayer works. Notice what it says in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 8. Thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. Notice verse 13. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the water of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. Notice verse 17. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground. Notice chapter 4 and verse 3. And command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm. Notice with me verse 9. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan in the place where the feet of the priest which bare the ark of the covenant stood. Notice with me in verse 18. It came to pass when the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up into the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and did flow over all his bank as they did before. Now, I want you to go back with me to verse 13, chapter 3. Verse 13, and notice what it says here in the Word. And it shall come to pass, notice the timing. Notice the timing. As soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the water of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off. Now, I want you to notice the timing. The waters did not dissipate or stand up on a heap until God's men moved. I mean, the Word was there. The ark was on their shoulders. They were ready. But he noticed the timing. He said, as soon as you put the soles of your feet, all of you step in, wonders will take place. Turn back with me. I want you to get this idea. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1 and notice verse 3. Notice what he says when he brings Joshua up and he says, now Joshua, you're going to take Moses' place. I'm going to be with you just as I was with Moses. And in verse 2, the very first thing he tells him is this, get the people over Jordan. It's time they have victory in their life. Time we have revival. It is time they see the works of God once again. But notice what he said in verse 3. He gives him the command. He tells him what to do. But notice what he says. He says, Joshua, you've got to move. Notice verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto who? Now watch this. Watch this. Joshua, all you got to do is go put your foot on it. And it's yours. But you've got to move. You can't look at it. You've got to move. Let's look at some other scripture. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Notice what he says here to Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 24. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be what? Listen to me. Doesn't it just break your heart? Moses didn't get to do it. All you got to do, Moses, go put your foot on it and it's yours. You don't have to bucket the water out. You don't have to bucket it out. You don't have to drain the river. All you've got to do, Moses, go put your foot on it. Notice what he says. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the rivers Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. By the way, take your Bible and turn with me to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. Verse 9. Here we've got an old spy named Caleb. Caleb comes to Joshua. And he's an old man now. He's in his years. His strength, you would almost think, has passed him. His age of victory is gone. Wouldn't you agree with that? But he says this. Now hang on. It's not determined upon my age or my ability or my capability. It's determined upon the Word of God. And even if I'm in my old age, let me just remind you, Joshua, and everybody else, what God said. Notice verse 14. And he said unto them, verse 9, excuse me. And he took, mind Joshua 14, 9. I'm sorry, I'm in Judges. Hang on, let me jump over there. This will work. Joshua 14, 9. Moses swore on that day, saying, surely, hey, don't you remember this, Joshua? I know I'm old. Notice what he says. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely, the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly follow the Lord my God. Did you understand this? That the mountain would be his, not because of his strength, but simply because of his obedience to God's words. Notice something else. So turn with me if you would to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. They crossed over into the Red Sea, or crossed over Jordan, and now they're on the other side. And you know what was on the other side of the Jordan River? This massive city, this city of sin called Jericho, isn't that correct? And you remember the great walls. I mean, here are these people that do not know victory and revival. There's no way they can ever take this city. There's just no way they're ever going to knock these walls down. How in the world will they ever do it? Well, notice what the Bible says here in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 15. Notice what it says. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. Only on the seventh day they compassed the city seven times. Notice verse 19 verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpet, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. Say, how'd they cross Jordan? Put their foot on it. Watch this. It wasn't Joshua's idea. It was God's idea. They simply went out, not on their own ideas or fantasies. They went out on obedience to God's word. How did they go around Jericho? In obedience to God's word. They simply marched around it, and when they went in obedience by faith and put their foot around it, it fell down. Did you understand that their foot was resembling their faith? If they had marched around 6 days, the walls wouldn't have come down. But they had to go 7, and they had to march around it, putting their foot around it. And as they marched around it on that 7th day, 7 times, they shouted, and in obedience to God's word, the walls fell down. Amen. Notice with me, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 10. Notice verse 24. Brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called unto all the men of Israel and said unto the captives of the men of war which went with him, come near. Put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near, and they put their feet upon the necks of them. And Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. You getting the picture? Put him down. All right, boys, come here. What do you want us to do? Put your foot on their neck. What? Put your foot on it. Why? Because God's going to do it to everyone you kill. All you got to do is go. You go in obedience to God's word. Put your foot on it. Put your foot on it. Fellas, step out in that water. What's going to happen? It's going to part like you've never seen. Over 18 miles. When God does something, He does it well. Amen? Put your foot on it. And you know what's amazing to me? In 1 Samuel 17:51, old David with that sling, you remember that? And he threw that sling, that stone, and it went like a bullet and sunk into the forehead. Amen. And he fell down, and the Bible says that he went and stood upon him. Pulled out the sword. Little old boy. What in the world are you doing on that giant, that Goliath, that child of God killer? Going to slay him. And he put his foot upon him. God gave him victory. I want you to get this tonight. Not only do we need the presence of God upon our life, not only do we need the presence of the Father, but we need men of faith. Men of faith. Well, you know, we just can't go to the mission field, Pastor. You know, the insurances aren't that well, and my wife might get sick, and this might happen, and that might happen, and boy, we just don't know if we can do it. Man, put your foot on it. If you'll step out, you'll be amazed at what God can do in your life. Just put your foot upon it. I'm telling you that God has promised us that if we will go in obedience to His Word, when faith activates the Word of God, when we move in obedience, wondrous things will happen. Do you understand that the power of God's Word is still as effective today as it was the day He spoke it? Did you understand that Lazarus did not have a choice but to come forth when God spoke? The wind did not have a choice when God spoke but to be still. There was no rebellion from nature. Do you understand that when Moses held his hands up in obedience, there could be nothing else but victory. They could do nothing else but prevail. Amen. Well, Pastor, we're just discouraged. It's just a hard area. It's just this. Put your foot on it, for heaven's sake. By the way, we have a great example of this. You understand that when we step out by faith, not only does it activate the Word of God, but we become the representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you that God was just waiting. He was just waiting for them to step out. Step back, people. You don't know where you're going. Well, how are you going to know the way? You follow those men right there. Step back and watch, and God will do great things in your midst. Then I can just hear Joshua say, go on, boys. How far? Go on! Step out! Step out! See what God can do in your life. Just step out! Amen? I'm telling you, I'm amazed at what God can do if we would just step out. I remember we were starting the church there in Tampa. And we were able to get a loan by a miracle. We didn't have a bank in the world that would help us. I mean, I went to 8 or 9, 10 banks, dressed up as best I could, and talked the talk and walked the walk. And, well, how long you been here? Just a couple of months. What's your deposits like? Terrible. Now, I remember one month we needed almost $4,000. And our offering was $350 a week. We needed $4,000 the next day. And the guy brought me the offering statement and he gave it to me that night. I didn't announce to the church. I mean, we had to pay a quarter of our insurance that month, and it was just outrageous what our insurance bills were down there. They're tearing us apart with those hurricanes. Amen. We were trying to pay that thing and just keep things afloat. I remember he brought that to me and I just stuck it in my pocket and walked off. He says, hang on, Pastor. Said, hang on. Did you see that? And I said, yeah. He put the decimal in the wrong place. I thought it was $400. It was $4,000. It stood on a heap on one side and stood on a heap on the other side. And for another week, I walked across. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Notice what the Bible says. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Man has fallen. Victory is once again has missed the people of God. They stand there in judgment. God is looking at the old serpent. You remember him? Genesis 3:15, and notice what he says. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now hang on. We understand the bruising of the heel was at Calvary. But remember the context that he's not speaking to you and I in this verse. He's speaking to the devil himself. And you know what he says to Satan? He says, Satan, I'm going to tell you something. That there will come a time out of the seed of the woman that your head's going to be bruised. And out of that, guess what I'm going to do? I'll bruise my heel, but bless God, I'll put my foot on you. And at Calvary, you'll never be the same. And you know what he said in Genesis 3:15? You wait, bucko, I'm putting my foot on you. And at Calvary, you may look and say, oh, it was a pitiful man. I'm telling you, look at Christ. Look how bruised he was. Look how torn his body was. But I'm telling you, you didn't see Satan on that day because he had his head kicked in. Tuesday night, I was coming home from church. You know, West Virginia, you shoot at everything all the time. I haven't shot a single thing in Tampa, you know. There's snakes coming across the road. Late, I'm coming home by myself from visitation. I saw that and I thought, man, we're just not going to let that snake live. I missed him the first time. I pull off the side road, turn my lights off, let the cars go out, then I pull back on, man. I'm telling you, he was in a lot of pain. I didn't kill him. But I'm going to tell you something. He's just laying around with a bruised head. Do you hear me tonight? Boy, we give that snake way too much credit. Well, he got another one. I'm telling you, he can barely walk. His head's been crushed in. By the way, check your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter. But before you do that, let me just share something with you. Not only does God promise to bless our foot, He promises to protect our foot. Satan had it right when he looked at Christ and he said, you know, if you jumped off here, the angels will not let a stone, your foot dash against a stone. Isn't that right? Do you remember a story? Here's a great thought. Do you remember a man that was going to curse God's people named Balaam? A false prophet? A greedy man? Isn't that right? God would not allow his foot to prosper. As a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, as he's riding that donkey and that angel stands before him, that one thing got crushed. God wouldn't bless his foot. But if you and I will go forward, God will bless ours. Now notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 22. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. Then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. Watch this. When He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Verse 27, look at this. For He hath put all things under His what? It's not up to David. It's just up to David to go stand on it. It's not up to Joshua. Just Joshua, go do it. Moses, go do it. Don't go without me. Don't go without me. But go put your foot on it. He's defeated. I'll bless your foot if you'll put it on there. Put your foot on it. Turn back to our text and I'll give you the last point. They needed the presence of their Father. See the power of their foot. But I want you to notice the prevailing of their faithfulness. Joshua chapter 3, would you notice what the Bible says here in verse 17? And the priests, Joshua 3:17, and the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood what? Firm. I can only imagine the joy in their heart. Stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over. Amen? Amen. Chapter 4, verse 18. And it came to pass, when the priests that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did what? Before. Now hang on. Four guys. I don't know how many millions of people there were, but I don't think they were all sprinters. Do you agree with me? I think it took some time. By the way, I don't know if they could drag them across. They could only make a way. It was their choice to come across. Amen. Yeah, I can only put my foot on it and encourage you to come, but I'm not dragging you across. You got to make the choice and decision yourself. But they stood firm. How long? Until they were all over. All over. All over. All over. All over. All over. They stood firm. Little backbone in them. You say, Pastor, they get tired? I think they were exhausted when the day was done. I think they were completely worn out. Have you ever... Man, I was in an airport today and we had 3 hours of mechanical delays. I was worn out sitting. Thank God I didn't have to stand for 3 hours while they fixed the plane. Amen? I'm telling you that these guys stood until every person was clean over. They stood firm. But I can only imagine as their bodies were physically drained of the glory they felt in their soul as they watched one by one God's people enter into victory. I ain't seen nothing like this ever before. Me neither. Don't move. Don't move. Don't move. Hey, hang on. Here's a blind man coming. Praise God. Don't move. Want to make a way for him? Amen. We had some folks out door knocking. They invited a couple, 72 years old, to our church. Ken and Barb Lane. They came 3 Sundays. She walked the aisle, got saved. He came, walked the aisle, got saved. Whoa! Fred was in the hospital, didn't know all the mechanics and all the terms, and the nurses in there, he kind of a funny guy. He wouldn't wear that gown. I mean, I came in there and he had his shoes on. I said, "Fred, you getting discharged?" Nope, I'm here for 3 days. I said, "Well, how come you got your shoes on?" He said, "That thing don't have a back. I'm not wearing it." Amen. Nurse comes in and she says, "Now, sir, don't you be worried about this heart bypass. It was a quadruple bypass. I mean, major surgery." He looked at her and he said, "Oh, I'm not worried. I went to church 3 weeks ago and I got saved. God came in my life. I stood there and I said, there's a branch that's blossoming. Amen." Woo! Let me stand there one more time. Let me just stand there one more time.
Amen.
I'm tired, but boy, it's exciting. Had a lady in our church in December. We went out bowling and we had a bowling activity and I got her and her boyfriend to come over and bowl with us. Somebody gave her a track at Walmart and she came to church. Amen. Driving an hour one way. Yeah. Something in that. So I'm looking at her and I said, "Annette, I said, do you know for sure if you're saved?" She says, "I don't know, but boy, I'm just struggling with that. I really want to get it settled." And I said, "We got to get back to the church now." And I told Amy, I said, "As soon as we get back, you take Annette in my office and get her saved. Amen. She's ready to go." She went in the office and she said, "I think I'm already saved." She had come from a Catholic background. She thought she had to go forward in a church to make it official. She said, I went home and I in my bedroom and I trusted. I asked Jesus to change my life and I gave Him everything. And she says, "Pastor, you wouldn't believe how God has changed my life." The day she got baptized, and I'm talking about a woman that works for the sheriff's department. She told me one time, she says, "Pastor, you don't understand. I am a liberal feminist that got saved." She got saved and had 14 people come watch her get baptized. Had one of her co-workers walk the aisle and told my wife, she said, "I had to come see this place. This girl has completely changed."
Amen.
There goes another one. Say how long till they're all over?
Amen. That's good preaching. That's good preaching.
Not till it's easy, till they're all over.
Amen.
Hey, listen to me. God did not call us to sell cars.
Amen.
He called us to stand firm.
Amen.
Be faithful.
Amen.
Be faithful. I'm telling you, we got preachers and I'm telling you that their pastoring is their part-time job and making money is their full-time job. Brother, God called you, leave the boat and follow Him.
Amen.
Go get in Jordan and stand firm. Stand firm. Man, it just bothers my heart. I met a guy in the Sunnies. We took our college students out for lunch on Sunday, and I was in there and I saw this guy and I walked over to him, and I remember he was wearing a police officer's uniform, and I hadn't seen him in so long. And I walked over to him and he had graduated from a Bible college. I won't say the name of it. And I looked at him and I said, I remember a young boy, him telling me God called him to preach. And I thank God for police officers, but if God called you to preach, preach. And his argument was, "Well, my family was just struggling and there's not enough money in it." Stand firm. Stand firm. The last verse that I read said this, that when the last man had picked up his foot out of that water, that Jordan came back. Came back. How many churches Jordan came back? How many places God has left Jordan has come back? Adoniram Judson, great missionary. His wife Ann, you know, they had put him in prison because of his preaching, his desire to translate the Word of God. His first 6 years, he did not have a baptized convert. Pretty rough. They put him in prison, and the conditions were so bad, they allowed Ann to come in, but except for Ann, he would have died in prison. They would not care for him. She brought the meal. She took care of him and even nursed him when he was sick. Anne had several children. And I know many of you know the story, how that she had a fever and was not able to nurse her child, literally going down the streets of Burma, begging someone to feed their babies, only for them to die. I'm telling you, folks, sometimes we think life is hard. We don't even have a sacrificial bone in us sometimes. We've got some men that have gone before us that have paved the road. Shame on us when we drop the torch. They were starving this lion out only to take Judson and to throw him in there and just to have his body mangled and torn by the lion the night before the lion died. Amen. They had him hanging by his thumbs. Not a single convert. Ann came in and said, Adoniram, by the way, the only reason they were letting her in now was they thought that her words might discourage him from preaching the gospel. And if he would only stop preaching, they would let him go. They're holding him up by his thumbs, dangling on his toes for days. And she comes in and she says, the Missionary Society wants to hear of the advancement that's going on in Burma. They want to know of our prospects, how the church is going. Standing there, haven't eaten for days, cannot feel his arms and legs. He says to Anne, you write to them that the prospects of God are just as great as His promises. When He died, they say there were 64 churches established. Over 7,000 converts. Stand firm. Stand firm. I know this. I know there's some preachers in this room. You've been beat up. You've been beat up. You've got some battles going into your church and you come here and you're just drained dry. I encourage you, go back with God and just stand firm. Don't change it, just stand. Stand firm. And thanks be to God which giveth us the... Heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight. I don't know if there might be someone in this room that's lost without Christ. Maybe you're brand new to this school or this church and you've come for this meeting. You'd say, Pastor, I'm not saved. I don't know the Lord as my Savior. Would you pray for me? And you'd raise your hand. Anyone like that tonight? Anyone like that tonight at all? I say this to every preacher, every student. Oh, how we need men who crave the presence of God on their life. That want an unction from above. Men that will have an unction that will step out by faith. God, I pray that tonight You would do in a work that is beautiful and eternal as You have promised. I pray that You would encourage, that You would cause us to be faithful. She calls us to put our foot on it. She calls us to stand. Oh Lord, You know the burdens and the desires and the sin of our heart. Expose them according to Your Word and Your Spirit. Meet with us. God, may we not be the same. I pray that from this, we would see You do a wondrous thing in our midst. In Jesus' name, let's stand.